If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Epilepsy and seizures is our guest topic on the show right now, and the epilepsy issue is big. It affects over 2 million people in this country. Others estimate that figure could be higher. Epilepsy is among the most common neurological disorders, and 10% of us will experience a seizure in our lifetime. Dr. Brian Smith is the co-chair, Department of Clinical Neurosciences, and chief division of neurology at the Spectrum Health Medical Group in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He also is the immediate past chair of the National Epilepsy Foundation, and he has epilepsy. Dr. Smith, thanks for coming on the show today. The question that caught my attention was, this is the season for seizures. Why is that?
Yes, well, you know, around the holidays, we all have a change in our schedules, and you know, things that can put someone at higher risk to more likely have a seizure are things like sleep deprivation, excessive stress. Sometimes people who have epilepsy or seizures who are well controlled may not get their medications on time because of the schedule's quite different. So things like stress and sleep deprivation, alcohol can all lower a seizure threshold and make them more likely to happen.
All right, here's Dr. Mike Roizen. Dr. Mike.
We've got one question already which relates to that, and so let me ask you that. It is, a number of my friends, this person actually lives in Texas where the flu is high. I guess they must be listening to, so there's a Jean in Texas, and Jean, thank you for writing the question. She said, the flu is high here, and especially when I look on Google Flu Trends, it is high there. And she said, does flu stimulate epilepsy? That is flu enough of a stress? And does inflammation in general trigger epilepsy?
So someone can develop seizures and subsequently epilepsy from a viral illness that gets severe, like a meningitis or encephalitis, which can kind of potentially scar the surface of the brain. Most people from the flu itself, though, would not develop seizures or develop epilepsy just from that. If I have someone who has a diagnosis of epilepsy and is well controlled, when they have the flu, though, that can, again, infection can lower seizure threshold because it seems to stress the system and therefore more likely make them have a seizure. Or, as we all know, when we have the flu, sometimes we can't keep food down, and they also have difficulty keeping their medicines down. That's another thing that would put them more at risk to have a seizure.
So thank you for that. Let's go to the basic questions first, and then let's talk more about this. And there are two organizations that are really have brought this home, epilepsyfoundation.org, which is the National Epilepsy Foundation. And November was National Epilepsy Awareness Month, so we've just passed that. If you will, epilepsyfoundation.org. And the other is you work and you're chief of neurology or of the co-chair of the Department of Clinical Neurosciences and chief of the Division of Neurology at Spectrum Health Medical Group in Grand Rapids. What is epilepsy and why is it dangerous?
So epilepsy is the term used for someone who has recurrent seizures, and a seizure is basically an electrical short circuit of the brain. You know, when we're born, we have this massive electrical network called our brain that usually it's a balanced circuit. It should function normally, but for some reason, people will develop epilepsy because it could be an injury to the brain, like a scar from head trauma. It could be an injury from stroke, an infection. We talked about meningitis or encephalitis, complications at birth. And then there's a number of forms of epilepsy that are genetically passed on in the family. And those are just a few of the reasons, but there's a number of reasons that seizures can occur, and it comes down to that issue of the brain short-circuiting. Then the seizures can be in many sizes and shapes, too. Depending on what is the cause and where they're originating from, they can look quite different. people have always assumed that a seizure is a grand mal seizure, and that's kind of the only type, but there's many
grand types. Grand mal means you're shaking throughout the body, and it generally starts, it generally starts in one area and spreads through your whole body. Is that a grand mal?
Well, that's the term grand mal, you're correct, is for that type of convulsive seizure we've seen happen for many years. Interestingly, that can occur because a seizure starts in one part of the brain and then spreads to the rest of the brain. But remember I'd mentioned a number of forms of genetic epilepsy where the whole network is firing all at once. So it's actually not starting in one part, but the whole system is short-circuiting at once and can look just like a grand mal seizure. They may look very similar despite the fact that the electrical short circuit and the spread is a little different mechanism.
And now the what you said is there, if it, for example, occurs in the temporal lobe, we used to say it could be just an abnormal smell you have or an abnormal taste. So seizures can occur various forms. You yourself had seizures at one point from what I would call a very unusual cause. Go ahead and describe your own personal involvement in this and why you chose the field of neurology.
Well, my experience probably started at a young age. I remember having this weird dream, almost like looking through a kaleidoscope at a very young age. And that kind of seemed to go away. And then all of a sudden, as a teenager, I started having these episodes where I felt like my brain was almost like being warped around the room on a lasso. And, you know, I could still talk to people, and it would only last 15, 20 seconds. And I had no idea what it was, but it seemed to go away and not cause a problem. And then one night, having that same feeling in the parking lot at high school, I went into a grand mal seizure. So this was your seizure that started in one part of the brain and then spread. And I was taken in the hospital, had the full evaluation. Everything supposedly came back normal back in those days, and just was placed on medication and did fine for a number of years and was told, well, I'm off the medication, which I did. But unfortunately, that led to another major seizure. And that's also when MRI was just coming out, and they did an MRI picture and found I had had a tumor in the temporal lobe, which probably was missed back in the earlier days by CAT scan because of some of the artifact that you see in CAT scan around the bone windows. And so that's kind of what happened.
Yeah,
and had to have
had
surgery to remove it and take care of the problem.
People don't think of brain tumors as slow-growing. That was a really unusual tumor. Is that right?
Well, there are a lot of slow-growing tumors. As a matter of fact, the slow-growing tumors are more likely to cause seizures than fast-growing tumors. So this was actually what was called a gliovascular hamartoma, which was an unusual nesting of abnormal cells and vessels together that was expanding. And, you know, the seizures don't necessarily come from the tumor itself, but the effect of the tumor on the surrounding what used to be normal brain and it being pressed and irritated. So, yes, you need to get remove that lesion, but you also may need to remove some of the surrounding tissue that's been injured by the development of that lesion.
Now, Donna asks a question, and thank Donna in New Jersey. Is epilepsy in children or in a child different than in an adult?
Yeah, there are many different forms of epilepsy. You know, we should say the epilepsies because there's at least 40 types, and we're identifying new types every year because some of the genetic markers that we're identifying. So you can have a benign form of epilepsy as a child and actually grow out of it. You can have forms of epilepsy that start very early in childhood that are quite severe and unfortunately don't have easy answers right now. And also later in life, we have people developing epilepsy from stroke and tumor and dementia. So it can vary for many different reasons, and that will change as you look at the age groups from the very young to the adolescent.
Well, we have a number of questions. Dr. Smith from spectrumhealth.org. A number of questions relating to epilepsy changing, and one of them is a brilliant question because it talks about brilliant lights and flashing lights at a basketball game causing something. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. Joe?
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.